Lord, there's not a better prayer that I can come up with, words I can string together than that. Lord, we're here today, and we ask that you would empty us. Empty us, all the things that we've let get down in there. Life stealing, joy dampening, confusing things. And so I pray that you'd empty us and that you would fill us with more of you, more songs that we sing, that you'd fill us with your words from the Bible today, that you would speak to us as you keep doing every week, Lord. It's amazing. And that we would enjoy having the boys and girls in here with us today, and that we would just, it would be worship watching young men and women serving other people and working hard to earn their way to a camp where they could fellowship with other teenagers and experience you in an all-out, sunburnt, tired, and just pumped, delirious time where all inhibitions go away and it's just hands raised worshiping you, Lord, having fun, learning more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So be with all this worship today that happens, every smile and every tear. I pray this because of you, Jesus, because of your authority. Amen. So some of us may not know each other. My name's Will. I get the pleasure, because of grace and mercy of God, to be the pastor here. So I hope if we didn't get to meet, we will. We're going through the book of Matthew. So if you grab your Bible, if you have one, if not, there's one with a ridiculously small print in the chair in front of you. Yeah, I know. It's a fallen world, what can you say? And so I don't want to review, but understand we've been talking about this. Jesus keeps saying this thing, those who were first will be last, and last will be first. And we're reminded last week that we want God's forgiveness. We want his grace. We want his mercy. As a matter of fact, we're desperate for it. We need it. And so the idea of serving someone else or putting them before you is understanding that God's grace is not only for you and his judgment for them, but that his grace and mercy, if I want it, I want him to give it to other people too. And that I don't want fairness. As much as that feels sometimes like I want fairness, if there was fairness, I wouldn't have grace. I wouldn't have mercy. And if God treated me fairly, life would not be good, okay? So that's kind of where we left off. So Jesus walking with the disciples, that's the whole reason we're doing Matthew. It's awesome to hear the words that Jesus says. So understand, I believe what we're reading here is the account of what Jesus really said. And so we're treating it that way. Matthew 20, hopefully I've given you time to turn there, beginning with verse 17. And it goes a little something like this. It says, "Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life.' Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus and with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. And she said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'You don't know what you're asking,' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father.' When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. I think there's a graduation speech right there. What do you think? For the high school, you know, really energize those kids to go out in the world and conquer that servant and slave. What are you going to be when you grow up? Well, servant, slave, probably. Yeah, it seems kind of backwards. Have you heard this scripture before? Yes. And so we miss so much of that. So let me start with this. Let me just say, this is not the only time so far in this journey with Jesus that he has mentioned, I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. And then on the third day, I'm going to raise. And so the first time, it's this. So far in our journey through Matthew, there was two other times that were written about, okay? We know that more happened than what is in the scriptures. The Bible's very clear about that. So the first one was in Matthew 16. After the first prediction, Peter rebuked Jesus, right? No, Lord. And then Jesus said to him, gently, get behind me, Satan. That's 16:23. And then Jesus proceeded to teach the crowd and the disciples that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. I mean, he's saying some extremely radical things. And we just read through them so quickly because they're so common to us, right? In the church life, you read these things. Then after the second prediction, you know, these guys saw the first time what happened to Peter, and who knows how many other times this happened. The second one recorded, their response was simply this. This was Matthew 17. And then the disciples, it said, were filled with grief. The second time Jesus said, oh, by the way, they're going to kill me. Now after this third prediction, you can also find this if you're making notes in Mark 10, 32 through 34, or Luke 18, 31 through 34. The mother of James and John, those are the sons of Zebedee, asked Jesus for preferred seating for her sons in your kingdom. Following which Jesus tells the disciples, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And then Jesus holds up his own sacrificial service as a model for all disciples. Okay, are your eyes glazing over? I mean, I read this and I understand it. It doesn't make sense. Please understand what we're asking those who want to follow Christ. Anyone who follows Christ, who's telling someone else about Christ, it's very simple. You've got to change, like, the way that you think. Okay? If you do nothing, if you just go with what the world tells you, how you're raised, how you're brought up, what the world says important, if you subscribe to those ideals, you're going to be far off from what Jesus is teaching. You can't just put the Bible on Sunday and then think the old way the rest of the week. It's going to go really bad for you. It's going to go worse for you than if you run, right? In the short term, in the long term, it's always worse to run. But in the short term, if you didn't know about Jesus, it'd be easier for you. But too bad, you're here, and I'm going to tell you about him. So now you've submitted yourself to either torture or submission to God. So now it's your choice, right? Happy Easter to you. But I don't know if it's just you, but like this first thing, I don't know. Like, I don't see that. I don't feel like, man, I want to rule. I want to be the best, man. I don't see that in myself. I know it's there, but sometimes when they say this, like, you want to be the first, you want to be ruler, God, put me at your right hand. Like, I don't feel like I asked that from God. So sometimes I read these things and I just jump past them because I'm like, that's not me. I don't think it's me. And so I prayed a lot about this because, to be honest with you, this isn't exciting. I can't play a game or do anything fun and exciting for the kids with this scripture. And so I prayed, what is it that you want to teach us, God, because we are being faithful to go through every verse. And so that we can hear what it is that God has for us. And let me share this. I wrote this down. It's kind of a notes on what God was telling me. You know, greatness. Who wants to be great? Yeah. What about this? Completeness. Who wants to be complete? Now we're talking, right? I want to be complete. I want to be whole, wholeness. And power, right? It comes from serving others, not getting others to serve you. Like, I worked in a management world, and one of the questions other managers would ask you is, how many people do you manage? Right? It's this sign of power. How many people do you have those authority as a pastor? How many people go to your church? Are you some kind of guy with three people in their living room, or are you, you know, one of these big deals that have tons of people that go to your church? We quantify our greatness, our wholeness, and our completeness on the number of people willing to serve you. Most young men would like as many girls as possible to like them. The more girls that like them, the more important they are. Women, the more that the men would find you attractive and be drawn to you, the more important you were. In kids, the higher you are and the better grades that you get, the more A's that you have are better. And what Jesus is saying is it's not about the number of people you can convince that you're great. It's not about the number of people that serve you. It's very different. In the kingdom of God, the first are those who serve instead of be served. What does that mean? Well, and then he says this, whoever wants to be first must be your slave. So we'll come back to that, but so first thing, right? Jesus is saying once again, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. We're going to go to Jerusalem right now. We're going up to Jerusalem because it's physically up. They're going up the mountain. And we're going to go there, and they're going to turn me over. And they're going to flog me. They're going to beat me. They're going to kill me. And on the third day, I'll rise. And I wonder the look on their faces, because then pretty soon it's like, Jesus? Yeah. So when you get your kingdom set up, I was hoping that maybe my sons, Johnny and James here, that they could be like at the right hand, at the left hand of you, you know, like your right hand and left hand guys. And you'd think Jesus would be, I just said they're going to kill me. Well, interesting enough, Jesus doesn't correct James and John. Instead, what he says to them, he draws attention to the price that would be paid. He said, are you, and you is the plural. So he's not talking to the mom. He's talking to the boys. He says, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? You see, in the Old Testament, why it doesn't make sense, the Old Testament, the cup would refer, it would refer to blessings, judgment, or death. But it's a common metaphor for suffering. And especially when it's given to you by God. So he's saying, okay. So guys, you want a place of honor? Could you suffer like I'm going to suffer? Could you go through what I'm going to go through? Could you handle it? Yeah. This is what we talk about a lot, right? Ask a question, and the good gold star Christian answer, you know, got the bookmark because you said, yes, Jesus, I can do that. No, don't jump to that. If these men would have thought about this question and what it really meant. Yes, we can do that. Yeah, we got it down. We could be managers for you in your kingdom. And he says, you guys will indeed drink of my cup. So there's a lot of thoughts. Was this predicting martyrdom? You know, was that saying that these two guys would also die like Jesus died? Well, maybe. Would it also, could it be that Jesus is saying, you guys are going to endure some serious suffering to walk with me? See, what we know from history is James is martyred. He is killed with the sword by Herod Agrippa. It tells us that in Acts. So we know that he was killed because of his beliefs. And John, there's some argument one way or the other, whether he died at an old age or whether he was killed. But you know that he was arrested, suffered, and experienced a lot of grief. So either way, I mean, I don't know, because that term could mean everything, but what Jesus is saying is, you want that high place? There's a price to pay. There is a price to pay. It's true. Ask anyone who serves in a ministry leadership position. There is a price to pay when you step out for God. It's clear. We see that all the time. So pray for those who serve you, not only in the church, but in the government and all these places. There's a great price for the managers of your workplace. There's a great price for your elected officials. There's a great price for pastors and missionaries and chaplains and those people who go to lead other folks and teachers. James and John, the sons of thunder, right? Yes, let's go. Let's get it. Sure, Jesus said, whatever. Let's do it. Let's set this up. So here's what I don't understand. Here, I'm asking God, okay, so what about this, man? I don't want to just sit here and bore these people with the same stories. What is going on? Why does this matter now in Prescott Valley in 2017? And Jesus was talking to me about this. I thought about at least three times minimum. He said very clearly, okay, very clearly, he told his friends too. He's not a guy with a bullhorn on the corner of the street talking crazy. These are his friends in conversation, in relationship, saying that I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be killed. And not only that, something is outrageous to say I'm going to be raised on the third day. No one said, what does that mean? He said that to friends, and their response was this. So when you come into power, what's it going to be like? We're still going to take out the Romans, right? Or, hey, what's my job? What do I get to do in your kingdom? And Jesus had just said, like, you and I, it's so easy to make fun of these guys, because you're like, Jesus just said that he was going to die. What makes you think he's going to take over that kingdom? And it becomes like a their problem and not an our problem. And when it's a their problem, it's easy to dismiss. The truth is, they weren't listening. They weren't listening. Lord, they weren't listening. What is it about that? Why does that matter? Because, wait a second. Am I listening? I mean, understand, I think I forget about this. These guys had left homes and jobs. And if you had no home and you depended every day for food, for warmth, for clothes, on the kindness of some stranger, what would you want really in your flesh more than anything? Everything's out of control. And what would you want? Control. Jesus, can we have control? Could you set up a kingdom? There's a palace. Jim, I've been sweating all day, man. We're talking people with big old palm branches feeding you grapes, man. Oh, that'd be nice. Put my feet up. They're killing me. I've been walking for 2 years. Can we get control? I'm going to die. Okay, that's fine, Jesus, but can we get control? You're going to make this better, right? I left fishing. You're going to make this better, right? I'm not listening to you because I have a plan and I won't lay it down. I won't empty myself for you. Are we listening? How does this apply? Are we listening? Or do we only hear what we want to hear? Okay, I'm listening. Heidi, I'm listening for answers within this parameters. And if he doesn't give me those answers, then I'm just not going to hear them. Right? Makes sense? Makes sense, right? Okay, good. So, hey, God, I want you to restore this relationship now. Well, it's not going to happen, right? What's that?
Like in one of two
ways. Yeah, in one of two ways, right? Like, okay. You know, for the parent who wants their kids to, I want my kid to be here this Christmas. And Jesus is like, not this Christmas, but keep praying. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I'm going to do whatever I can to control and manipulate, right? I'm going to send them some sort of guilt card so they feel bad and come for Christmas. This could be my last Christmas after all. You better come and bring the grandkids out, right? Or the wife, like, hey, I want my wife to love me in this way at this time. Babe, feeling really lonely, right? Yeah, you know that. Or like the kids, like, I want them to behave in this way. I want to control matters. They're teenagers, Will. They're teenagers. They're going to act crazy. I can't hear you, Lord. They're not allowed to act crazy. It's not within my parameters. Just don't destroy the relationship. Keep loving them. Keep being there for them. Set the boundaries. Don't injure them further. I can't hear that. They've got to behave right now in my way. Guys, I'm going to die. Well, whatever, Jesus. But when we go to the castle and we take it over, where do I get to sleep? I don't know, Will. You're making a crazy jump. Maybe. But I'll tell you what. I don't know about you, but this is me. This is so true about me. Like, everything seems to be out of control at times. And what you want is you strive for control. And when God tries to tell you different, you just don't want to hear it. Are we listening? Are we listening? I mean, I know, and I only know a few of your stories, but I know that God's been trying to tell you something or show you something because this is what he does. And you aren't listening because it's not in your parameters. You're like, Jesus, when we get the castle, can I have the corner room? Or do we only hear what we want to hear? No, I'm going to listen to somebody who tells me everything's going to be easy and good. Yeah, there's a problem with that. It's the Bible, guys. God loves you. He's never going to leave you, but that doesn't mean it's always easy. But if you keep following him, it will be good. Do we believe what Jesus is saying? Oh, I'm going to restore this. Well, I'm going to heal this. I'm going to provide for you. No, God, no. Like, where's the money coming from? Okay, restore. No, it needs to go away right now. Wait, I'm going to fix. No, it needs to be fixed right now. I can't hear what you're saying. So when you fix that, does that mean we get to go on a trip?
Nope.
Just like them. Well, when we get to castle, Jesus, can I be at the right hand? No, I want to. Mom? James again. And it's this, the scripture uses these terms, you know, have power, to rule, to be first. And maybe that's what God's speaking to you about now in your life. Maybe that's really, really applicable, okay, right now. But here's what I've learned in looking at my own heart, spending time with other people, reading from people who spent more time with people than I've spent, okay? And what seems to be true to everybody is there seems to be something on this list that would hit home, and it's maybe what you're not looking for is power. Maybe it's not that. Maybe you're not interested in ruling, and so you read these power and rule scriptures and you just jump over them because you're like, oh, doesn't apply. NA. Next blank. First, I don't want to be first. I've lost so many times. I just don't want to be last. Maybe those aren't you, but what about this? We want to be chosen. We want to be special. We want to be valued. We want to feel worthy. We're getting touchy-feely. I live touchy-feely, and so do you. And when you're pretending you don't, you're just lying to yourself. You want to be special. And just because the world beat you down and told you you haven't, it doesn't mean that you stopped wanting to be chosen, special, precious, to feel important, to feel loved, to feel validated. You want that. I don't care how hardened you are. You want that, to be chosen. you know, I've got my daughter and she's got her dress on and she'll want to know that I think she's pretty in her dress. And if I don't tell her when she's 16, some boy will. You know? And my 13-year-old son, he's working so hard out on the soccer field. You know, we played a soccer game, and teenage kids, 13, 14, it's just not fair. The other team had like 7 mustaches. Our kids had like half a mustache and 2 armpit hairs. And they were just like giants. I was about to suit up so I could body up on some of those guys. But those boys want to know that they're good enough. They fought hard. And they were waiting for mom and dad to tell them, you did great. They were hoping we'd make an announcement about the ones who scored goals, you know? Why? Because they want to rule? No, they want to know that they're worth something. And so God, do something to help me be worth something. And everyone else is telling me I got to get people to serve me. I have to get a higher position. I have to get accolades. I better have an award or a certificate. And it's no surprise, you see? It's no surprise that you want to be loved, chosen, and special because you were created. Like, Jesus didn't change the way he built man and woman after Adam and Eve. He didn't. He didn't put us together, knit us together in our mother's womb differently. We were still created to have these things with God. Is our body failing? Is the ozone depleting? Is everything, including oxygen, giving us cancer? Yes, apparently so. Okay? Are we destroying each other? Are we destroying the planet? Maybe. I don't know. Is it getting colder, hotter? I don't know. All I know is it is a fallen world. However, you are still created to have intimacy with your Father in heaven. And he was supposed to give you these things. And because we're not getting that from him, we're trying to get it from the world. In achievements or rebellion or love, physical fitness, you know, or we want to numb it with drugs, alcohol, food, other addictions, if we're feeling not worthy. We were created to receive all these things from the Father. When Paul, he wrote to this church in Philippi, and like us, there are people living in the world, making their way, trying to figure out what it is to follow Jesus. And Paul writes him this letter, and in the second chapter, verses 5-8, he says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus did. And then Jesus said in Matthew, where we were just reading, says, you know the rulers and the Gentiles? You know the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. You know, service is great. Service is great. And lots of people talk about this, and you know, it's like the man came to Jesus and he's like, what? Man, there's so many rules and laws. I'm paraphrasing. And he's just like, Jesus, I wish you could just give me some kind of shortcut. I mean, how would you, my head's spinning, trying to follow all these things. What do you do? And it's a great question. And he's like, man, you want to make all the laws, fulfill them, and get it right? You could just do it this way. If you loved God with everything that you had, and then if you loved your neighbor as yourself, service. Servant. What about this slave thing, Jim? I'll be honest with you. I was tripping up on this a little bit, the slave thing. And it's like, Lord, okay, I get it. What I want to tell you guys is to understand, first of all, this is a journey and I can't give you one answer, but clearly these things that you need, what they're calling your desire to be first, your desire to be chosen, your desire to be special, there's only one place that can come from, God. And he will use other people to further support that truth. And so this is why in church we talk about it, not the wrong ways. This is why we come together, we worship God. This is why we sing, because it's emotional, it's spiritual, right? We sing to God so we feel close to him, and we read his scriptures so that we know that we're special to him, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he created us, that he loved us so much, he let his son die on a cross to save us. Like, you are special, and you have to tap into that truth. And the only way that you do that is by choosing to focus on those things. How do you do that? By study, by prayer. Are you praying thankfully or only asking for things? Are you praising God for what he's done? Are you thankful for the blessings in your life? Are you dependent on him for each day? If you don't, the world will clearly step in and become your God. Choose this day who you will serve. So I get that with the service. And so you and I have to flip this on our heads. We should be outdoing one another in love and service and kindness. And a lot of you get that. And that is, in the kingdom of God, in his eyes, that is so much more important. When you get there, one guy will be like, I had 100 people report to me. So what? I reported to 100 people. Yeah, that guy is awesome. It sounds ridiculous, but like, this is Joe. Man, how did Joe get the cool robe? Sue? He reported to like 100 people, man. I would have thought he'd been like CEO or president or something. No, he was such a servant, and that was first in the kingdom of God. And it sounds weird, but how do you do that? A lot of you are doing it. You're serving other people. You're putting those. But it starts at home, right? It really starts at home. How are you treating the people in your life, your family members? If it's a spouse, how are you treating them? Are you serving their needs before yours? If you're a kid, your parents and your brothers and sisters, are you considering their needs before yours? That's the way that God wants it. And when you do that, oh man, there's joy, there's life, there's completeness. It's true. And something God gave to me is this truth. If I took a section of 5 people and all 5 of those people watched out for their own best interest, each person has how many people watching out for them? 1. If in a group of 5 people, all 5 watched out for the interest of all the other people, the other 4 than them, how many people are watching after you? 4. This is the way it works in the kingdom of God. But now Jesus took it. You want to be the best. You want to know the best you can do. Slave. Must be your slave. What? What's that mean? Well, clearly there's a difference in the understanding of the slaves that we had in the early history of America and how they were treated as opposed to those slaves at the time of the nation of Israel. But here's what I've come to understand about that. The difference between a servant and a slave is a servant has control, has power, and makes a choice to lay that down in favor of somebody else. Does that make sense? Is that true? So, you know, if I open the door for Anne, I'm making a choice to let her go through the door before me. And I know it's awful. I could lose 0.002 seconds in the rat race of life, right, to let you go before me. However, I've made a choice. But see, being a slave, there's a release of control. When you're a slave, you do what the master wants you to do. Okay, well, I'm just running that out of my ear. No, stick it back in. Meditate on this for a minute. Think on this for a minute. When I'm a slave, I've chosen. I've made a choice to submit to myself in that way. And when I become a slave for Jesus, a slave for God, I serve people. And some things you see you can't escape. There's certain things you're not going to be able to run from that God's asking you to do. It's like Jonah. He was a slave for what God wanted him to do. And when he ran, it didn't go well for him. You see, so sometimes I'm going to have to serve in situations where it sounds awful, but there almost isn't an easy way out. It's not like opening a door. I'm talking about intimate relationships. You see, God has asked me to do what I'm doing, and so I feel like I enjoy doing that, but I feel like I'm a slave to him the rest of my life in a good way. Like, this is what my life has to be about, is serving him in different capacities, maybe over time, but I'm going to serve him all my days. I know that. It's become clear. I've committed my life to be married to Brandy. And so in sickness and in health, and when days are bad, I'm going to serve her anyway. I need to. Am I doing it? No. Bad slave, Will. Bad slave. Servant's easier. Buy her some flowers, okay? Servant, open the door for her. Tell her she's pretty. Help with the kids. I can do that, but slave is on the days where you don't want to serve. Everything isn't great. It's not easy. Will you lay down your will? Will you lay down your control? Will you lay down your own desires at times for what God's asking you to do? And that's what happened with the disciples. That's the crazy thing. It's like, I almost wish I could see it play out, because these guys are like, well, I'm going to be killed. Okay, so which room do I get? In the king, in the castle. Can I slap him? You know, when you tie him up, can I slap him? No. Understand, I'm going to be killed. All of your life, it's going to be hard. As a matter of fact, pretty much all but one of you are going to be killed, because you follow me. A slave. But could you do that? Could you just know, this is what God wants me to do? He's asking me to do this, and I can't even see the goodness in it, but I know the goodness of God, and I'm going to do it anyway. Well, Will, you're crazy. You're off your rocker. Well, maybe I am. I love it. Okay, I love it, because I'm taking this scripture that has been dead to me, and what I'm seeing here is we don't listen to God. As a matter of fact, most of you don't even think you can hear from God. Well, God said, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He did say that. But if he's not telling you that, and you're just reading it, then you're just reading. Those are his words, but he's speaking to you, and you need to hear from him. He speaks to you when you pray. He speaks to you. And even creation itself, he speaks to you when you sing. He speaks to you when you're still. He speaks to you when you go throughout your day. And when you ask for him, he'll reveal himself to you. Maybe not physically, okay? Don't take my words and run somewhere else with them. What I'm saying is, you will see God at work and alive around you. And if you're not hearing from him, then you don't know what he's asking you to do. And you don't know when he's asking you to serve somebody else. And you don't know when you're in a situation where you feel out of control and you just have to say, I trust you, God. And go with it. And so here's the question I have for you before we pray. One big question: are you listening? And if your answer is, oh, wait, what did you say again, Will? Well, then maybe you need to consider the fact that you're not listening. But in all seriousness, are you listening to God? That's my first question. And I'll repeat these when we pray. The second question I have for you, is he asking you to do something that you haven't done? And then the third question is, whether it's an act of servitude or an act of submission, slavery. I know it sounds bad, no, but complete submission, let's use a different word, complete submission to his will outside of your control. Will you do that? Will you do that? When you say yes, then he fills you. Your Father is the one that's going to tell you you're special. He's the one that's going to tell you that you're first. He's the one that's going to tell you that you're chosen and loved. But warning, okay? Asterisk here. This could be hard. It probably is going to be hard. And for some of you saying yes, wow, I'm sorry what the next 10 years are going to be like.
Even harder.
Yeah, or 20 years.
Harder.
Or 30 years, or like Abraham style, you know. He's got to wait all this time to have his son. And so it's not some sort of feel good. It's just magically going to show up on your doorstep when you get home today. I'm not going to lie to you. But God is with you every step of the way. So let's pray. And the praise team can come up. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for being first and last. And so that this jockeying game for first place and for getting more people to serve me than more people that I serve, I don't have to play that game. You are first and last. And I just want to be where you are. So God, I want these times to matter. I want to believe what you say in your word, Lord. I want to believe what you reveal to the hearts of your sons and daughters. And so, heaven forbid I would ever try to trick somebody or shame them or guilt, because that's just not what you have for your people, Lord. But there is conviction. And so, Lord, I just ask right now that you have your way here, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life and in my heart to speak to me. And I know many of the other people out here praying with me today feel the same way. And so we ask you, Lord, to search us, know us to our very core, and know what's going on inside us, and reveal to us a place where you're working in our lives, a place where you're working in our hearts, a place where you're transforming our minds. And so I just bring this question before you, to myself and everyone else here. Are you listening to God? Are you listening to God? Just take a breath before you answer. No, Lord, I'm not completely, if I'm being honest. Not like I need to. Well, Lord, where is it that I'm not listening? What have you asked me to do or not do that I've refused to? Maybe it's an act of service. Maybe there's something I need to do for someone else. Maybe there's something I need to set down. It could be forgiveness. It could be laying down some resentment or a conversation that needs to happen. Maybe it's an active thing. I need to do something I haven't been doing. Thing, I give you the results, Lord. This is not about results. It's not about hands raised or quantifiable things, but it's about the movement of you in people's lives. And so We have communion set up on the back tables, Lord, and we want to do this as an act of worship. And so I want everyone to sit with this question, and as we sing, that they would go and take communion with those around them, Lord, and that they would, before that they do that, they would start to sit with this question. This thing that you've asked me to do, God, maybe it's an act of servitude. Maybe it's an act of slavery. I don't even see the good result in it, God. If I keep doing this, then my needs aren't going to be met. If I do this, I'm going to get hurt or something's going to fall apart. But I know that you're asking me to do it. And the question is, will you do it? Will I do it? Will you say yes, Jesus? Will you say that first word? Will you take that first step? Those who want to be first must be a slave. Those who want to see all that God has for them have to let go of themselves. I want to be complete. I want to be whole. I want to have joy. I want to have life. I want to have freedom. And I've been trying to take it, Lord, and I can't reach it. And so I lay that down, the effort and the trying and the outcomes, and instead, I'm just going to go the way that makes no sense in my human mind, and that is just to serve and to do what you ask me to do, and then you're going to make it happen. I believe that. I trust that. And so I don't have to put training wheels. I can just pedal away and do what you ask me to do. And when I fall, you'll pick me up. And when I scrape my knee, you'll clean it off and put a band-aid on it. And so, Lord, yes, I will do what you're asking me to do. But I'm going to need help at about 12:01 and 12:05 and 1:05 and 2:05 today to do that. So be with me, Lord. Holy Spirit, hold my hand and walk me through this. So we sit with this question, will we do what you're asking us to do? As we sing, as we pray, as we take communion.